You want to turn to Philippians chapter 4. We'll cover, for a few minutes, we'll cover a very familiar passage. I talked to a few of you about this verse in the last, I feel like, days, and so I've been thinking about it. In the beginning of this, we often talk about this passage, the beginning of this chapter. Paul is encouraging the Philippians in verse 4. He's talking about, you get the impression in this sense, it's almost, he talks about being anxious, right? So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding or surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. He's encouraging them in prayer, but not just in prayer, but a lot of what Jason was talking about. And this may be corporately, this may be individually, but just coming really and presenting our burdens before the Lord, doing that with a thankful heart. And then he goes on and talks about where we set our minds. And then we come down to, he seems to change course a little bit, but I do think there's probably a connection here. He's talking about having need. In some sense, he's talking about having need, and I think that's where we often think of it. But he says here, he says in verse 13, and this is the familiar one, he says, I can do all things through him, through Christ who strengthens me. But the context of that is, he's talking about, he says they had sent a gift, the Philippians had sent a gift to him, that church, and he says, I've learned to live with much, and I've learned to live with little. And then that's the context of, he's talking about having need or not having need. He says, I can do all things, whatever circumstance I'm in, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so the two things that really kind of struck me was, first off, I think we often, and we're thinking about being anxious, and we're thinking about Philippians 4, we think about that in the context of having trials and tests, and that often is the case. It brings us to our, knees, so to speak, in terms of brings us to prayer and crying out to the Lord. But it's interesting to me that he says, I've also learned to live with much. It was as though there was a learning there as well. I've learned to be in need. I've learned to be in trials. But then I've learned to be in a place where I wasn't in trials, where perhaps I had all my needs met. And it was interesting to me because if you go back into the Old Covenant and the warnings and the passage in Deuteronomy 8 that I often would go to, because I'm encouraged where Moses, the Lord through Moses, is reminding the Israelites how he led them through the wilderness, how he's brought them this far. Then he gives them a really strong warning. And he says, when I bring you into the land and you come to enjoy everything that I have prepared for you, don't forget. Don't forget about me. And it's a really strong warning. I'm just going to read the last, I think, verse of that, because he says there in the end, he says, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you will perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. And that's in the context of when we come and when God has mercy and all of a sudden he allows things to happen in our life. If we forget about the Lord because he's delivered us from the pit we were in, and then He brings times of refreshing, but maybe even in some natural sense, he helps us naturally. And all of a sudden, it just feels like, wow, all the pressure that was once there and the things that brought us to our knees, that perhaps brought us to him, those trials and those tests, that when perhaps in his mercy, he allows times of and even natural blessing. Please know this is not a prosperity but it's a reality that God is a good father and he'll allow good gifts for his children, even natural gifts. And in that, Paul learned, because he experienced the same. Churches would send him much. All of a sudden, he'd be like, wow, I have more than I need. He uses the word, I have an abundance. I've learned to live in that. And, you know, that's a test in itself. Because all of a sudden in your mind, and I'll share this because I experienced this week. In your mind, you're thinking of the warning. You're thinking, I have much. Lord, I kind of want to be excited about this. Wow, this is great. Oh, no, I can't be excited about it. My mind might drift from the Lord, right? In this battle. And then all of a sudden I find my mind is set on earthly things, set on perhaps a natural blessing that the Lord's allowed. And you know what I found is the answer to overcoming that is exactly the same as the answer to overcoming the trial. And that's why Paul could say, I've learned that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But there's one thing that brings them both together too. And so in my natural thing this week that I was wrestling through, I finally came to a place, I was like, Lord, I can't battle these thoughts away on my own strength. These things that want to consume my mind. And it just came to my heart, you know what? Why not actually just give thanks? Give thanks for this thing that the Lord's given. And I just began to give thanks. And I think I said it to Whitney after. I says, you know, after I gave thanks, it was probably a day later. And I was like, you know what? I realized a day later I hadn't thought about this thing that I could not in my own strength fight. And all of a sudden, all this battle of in my mind just changed because I just began to give thanks. But I also came to a place of saying, just like in the trial, perhaps you're going through a great trial. When we're in that trial, we come to our knees and we just say, Lord, I can't do it. But the unifying thing is when I was thinking about this is, you know, so Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If I'm in good times, I've learned to live there and not let it become like the lukewarm church where he says, I've become rich and I have need of nothing. No, it's not like that. I've learned to still stay on fire for the Lord and be hot and not become lukewarm because you've given me much. And in times of trial, I've also learned to be content. No matter what the circumstance I've been, Lord, you've taught me. And it's through strength. It's through your strength. And so I was just meditating on how do we access that strength? And these aren't new words, but how do we, through Christ who strengthens us, how do we, no matter what our circumstance, be able to say, you know what? I've learned to be content. And I've found victory in Christ, no matter my circumstance. And Paul says, when he had the sickness, when he had this thorn in his flesh, whatever that was, Christ told him, God told him, he says, my strength is perfected in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. And so Paul says, he says, I learned to boast in my weakness. But that's where his strength was perfected. The other passage that came to my mind is that faith is the victory. No matter what circumstance we're in, faith is the victory. You know, I was looking in Hebrews, and he talks in Hebrews. He says, Hebrews 6, it starts, and this is it shouldn't be a meaty chew, but it feels like it. He says, you know, it's time that we move on from the elementary, the basic Christian principles, the basic Christian teachings. And the first one he says is repentance from dead works and faith towards God. And I realize that when you think of repentance from dead works, what goes through your mind? Maybe you're like, I'll tell you what goes through my mind. I have no idea what that means. And then that's a fair answer because the first, what? There's not a lot of passages that necessarily specifically say, define. You can look it up in Scripture and say, here's dead works, right? What is dead works? You think of the Old Covenant and the law, God gave them a lot of laws. And it would be easy to go, well, I can think of dead works, right? It was all the laws that God gave them in the Old Testament that brought no life. And that what it ultimately was is they had to realize that they needed a Savior and that Jesus Christ was their Savior. And that is true. So repenting from those dead works. And so if you were in the Jewish traditions, you need to repent of that and turn away from that. You're never going to find your salvation. That the blood of bulls and goats are never going to save you. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that's going to save you. So then my question would be, so is that it? Is that the only dead works? And so us as not being natural Jews, we can say, well, that passage doesn't apply. I'll say to you, no, I think it still applies. A dead work, very simply, that, and there's so much more you could probably teach on this, but a dead work can also just be when we're trying to do it in our own strength. We sit here and we say, Lord, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I don't see the victory. And I just set to submit to you, it says, is the doing this, and the doing this, and the doing this, and all the things we're recounting of how, Lord, I have done all these things, and yet I don't see the victory. Perhaps all that doing, we need to say, Lord, I've tried to do all of these things, thinking somehow by doing all of these things, I would get the victory. And I just have to realize, Lord, I can't do it. But Lord, you can. And so I need you to save me. And maybe that saving is in the midst of poverty, poverty of a natural need, poverty because you're going through a great trial, whatever that trial is. So Lord, I've tried everything, but I just need you to save me. Perhaps it's going through a time of abundance. And you're in that abundance, perhaps maybe you're one of two things comes to my mind. One is, Lord, I'm just fighting and I'm trying not to be consumed by this. And yet my mind is always on it. It's like my business is going so well. Naturally, I've prospered or this has happened. And I'm so excited that this has happened. And I don't want to be consumed by it anymore. And yet I'm fighting in my own mind to take all these thoughts captive and I'm losing. Again, there, it's like, Lord, I know your word says take every thought captive. And I'm trying, but I can't do it. Help me. Save me. And in that weakness, his strength is made perfect. Either place where we can say, you know what? I have now learned that no matter what my circumstance is, I can do nothing of myself, but I can do all things as I learn daily dependence on Jesus Christ and just saying, Lord, I have a need. And that need could be in either circumstance. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's the thing. It says, it's like it's a secret. I'll give you an example. It's a bad example because there's probably more real examples. When I came to the Lord, you've heard this, and please know what you're going to find out. So one of the things that I sought life in was in skiing. And I laid that down for about 10 years. And I walked away. I know I can look over this side of the room. I can see a similar testimony here. It wasn't skiing, right? So I realized, you know what, I'm laying that down. And then I remember about 10 years later, Joel and Darren and I were living together, and we had someone come live with us. And one of the guys said, you know, we should take him skiing to Mount Baker. And I was like, oh, skiing? No. I walked away from that. I don't want to rebuild that thing that once I sought my life in. And it was great. We went, we had a wonderful time, and I hurt so bad because I was 10 years older, and I thought, this is great, Lord. I'm so grateful my back hurts so bad from this because it will never grip my heart the way that it once did. But like this week, I had a chance to go skiing again with my boys, which we now enjoy. I go a few times a year with them. And somebody asked me at work, how was it? And I almost started crying. So I was just like, you have no idea the gift it is for me to be able to spend that time with my children. And my perspective on it has totally changed. It's just a heart of gratitude to say, Lord, that's a natural blessing. Many people can't even afford to do that. But God's put that opportunity before us. And so my heart has shifted to one of just, Lord, I'm so thankful. But hey, Lord, if you took that away, I'll still serve you. I'll still serve you. But while you give me the opportunity to enjoy those moments with my children, man, I'm going to give thanks, Lord, because that is a gift from you. And so I would look at that and say, that's a place of abundance. To say, I have that opportunity. It once ruled my life. And by the grace of God, it doesn't rule my life anymore. Now it's a heart of thanksgiving. But it could. You have to be on guard, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But in it, I've learned. I can say, I'm learning, let me say that, I'm learning the secret of being content. Whether God gives me a natural blessing, then I want to be thankful. I don't want to fight it in my own strength and think, well, no, I don't want it to consume me. And maybe God will show me in my heart, no, you know what, I'm going to walk away from that. I'm not saying that. We need to allow the God to show us and be diligent to be led by his Spirit and allow the peace of God to guard our heart and our mind. And he may say, you know what, no, take a pass on that. That's going to be a distraction to you. Take a pass on it. But there may be times where he gives a natural blessing. We just say, Lord, I'm thankful. I had another thought, the other thought this week, a natural blessing. And I'm saying this, and I say this like with trepidation that people are going to be going, oh, he's thinking prosperity. It's not that. Every one of us here has had something where it's like, oh, that what great. This is a gift. Well, praise the Lord. It's a natural blessing. And I fought it, and I was like, I can't. Like I said, I wanted to be excited. And I was like, oh, I shouldn't be excited. It's wrong to be excited. I'm more spiritual than being excited about that, Lord. And I was just like, no, I'm just, Lord, I'm thankful. Then I thought, okay, well, this thing I'm excited about, I was like, oh, somebody's going to, I literally could think, okay, someone's going to have to borrow this. I can look forward. Someone will borrow this in 3 months. What if they wreck it? Because I already know this is going to happen. And I was like, well, what if the way I respond, if it gets wrecked? Because they're not walking with the Lord. And I just said, what if the way that I respond, Lord, if you allow it, if you were to allow this, this is you're getting, because it's like you're like the fly in my mind right now. What if the way I respond touches their heart in a way that could grip them to say, you know what, that's not the way I would have responded. And it could actually be for the gospel. And I say, Lord, if I actually literally went to this point, I said, Lord, if it gets wrecked or you take it all away, but I could win their souls in the way I respond, that's a trade I'll take any day, Lord. Any day. I just want to encourage you this morning. Jason's encouraged us in prayer, which is a wonderful encouragement. I want to encourage you too, just in this thought of, Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's just learning. No matter our circumstance, whether in need or whether in a place where the Lord is in his goodness has given us something and we can just be thankful for it, that it's the same. It's a heart of prayer, it's a heart of thanksgiving, and it's a heart of recognizing, Lord, I can't do it, but you can. And faith is the victory. To just come to a place and say, Lord, I can't do it, and that's where it stops. There is no victory there. That's why when you read the Psalms, they're such a blessing, because David would pour out, as he would say, I'm pouring out my complaint to the Lord. But they would always end with, but God. And it was always a statement of faith at the end. So I encourage you this morning, we serve a good Father, and that we can do all things through him who strengthens us. But we need to learn to find our strength in him. And there's other passages I'd written down. Ephesians 6 talks about putting on the armor of God, being strong in the Lord. So you can look at those. But the key things I hope I've been able